This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. This morning, we will again join the Hammerstrom children and their mother and walk when the moon is full to see what they discover. I want you to know about the Hammerstroms. I'll tell you a little bit about them. They were famous for their work on prairie chickens in the central sands of Wisconsin. I'll quote from the Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame website. They were inducted in 1996. The Hammerstroms were research fellows at the University of Wisconsin-Madison under Aldo Leopold. In 1940, Fran became the only woman to earn a graduate degree under Leopold. A year later, Frederick became the only person to earn a doctorate under Leopold. Together, they headed a research team that was credited with pinpointing the type of habitat needed by prairie chickens at a time when the bird was on the verge of extinction from Wisconsin. Together and individually, the Hammerstroms published over 100 professional papers and many reviews of ornithological literature. Francis also published 10 books, unquote. I recommend this website that I just read from, the Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame, WCHF.org. It's a great central spot to learn about our Wisconsin conservation heroes, people who have dedicated their lives to Wisconsin's abundance and diversity of wild places and creatures and plants. Many inductees are still thriving. Many are part of our history now. I also encourage you to look at any and all of Fran's books. This one I'm reading from, called Walk When the Moon is Full, is certainly one that should be on your bookshelf. She also wrote Harrier Hawk of the Marsh, Birding with a Purpose, Strictly for the Chickens, and Eagle to the Sky, to name just a few. She was a wild game cook and always used her hunting larder for her main food supply. Her book, Wild Food Cookbook, got her a spot on David Letterman's late night show where she plucked a pigeon on stage. I wouldn't be surprised if you could find the video on YouTube. And now on to go out into the moonlight. This is the July chapter. The children came into the room looking very pleased with themselves. You look as though you knew where you wanted to go tonight, Fran smiled. We don't care where we go. We want to take flashlights. But, darlings, won't it spoil everything? Just think, it won't be the same. Why can't we take flashlights? Elva can use mine, and I'll carry the big one. Well, Fran agreed reluctantly. We'll take them along, but let's walk as far as the pond by moonlight, because I'd like to. She had no idea that she would want to use a flashlight before long. Alan ran ahead to the pond, and soon he was shouting, I've got my flashlight on! Elva stooped in the shadow of the trees to smell the sweet, spicy fragrance of white cockle flowers, wide open at night. We can see fish. They never go to bed, Alan called. Elva added, and flowers don't either. Fran said, some flowers do. Show me a flower asleep, quipped Alan. They went to the weedy edge of the cornfield, where the morning glories grew. All the flowers were twisted tightly shut. Let's see if they'll open by flashlight. The children held their lights right next to a morning glory, but it wouldn't open. Then they went to the roadside, but the spiderworts wouldn't open either. The daisies were wide open. Suddenly Elva exclaimed, "The clover is gone!" Fran knew that there was a clover patch right by the spider warts. She borrowed Elva's flashlight, but she could find no clover. Alan got on his hands and knees and looked carefully. Then he cried, "Here it is! There's lots of it! Did you know that clover plants fold their leaves?" "No," Fran answered, "I didn't. I think your father will be surprised to learn this. Bring him some. Let's bring him some. Alan, can you find your way back to the morning glories?" "Of course I can." "Then you pick a morning glory, and Elva and I will pick a spiderwort and some clover leaves. We'll put them all in a vase and see what they look like at breakfast." Elva picked lots of clover leaves. In the morning, Alan whispered to Fran, "Will Hammy look at clover leaves?" He did. At breakfast, the morning glory was curled shut. The spider wart's blue flowers were partly awake, but the clover leaves had opened wide. All three waited in the doorway to see what Hammy would say. He examined the strange bouquet. Suddenly he looked up and smiled. "Where did you get the four-leaf clover?" And that's the July chapter. And the August chapter. "Fran, I think the children are up whispering outside our door." "Up? At this hour? I'll talk to them." Fran opened the bedroom door, and both children raised expectant faces. "You forgot the moon," Alan whispered. "It's full." "You mean you want to go walking now? It's midnight." Both children nodded their heads. "All right," Fran answered. "Let's go quietly to the pond. It's too hot to sleep anyway." Elva exclaimed, "I hear four frogs going chunk, chunk." "Let's get in the water and sneak up on a frog," said Alan. So they all slipped off their clothes and walked softly into the warm water and lay down so only their heads were sticking out. Using their hands, they pulled themselves through the bulrushes toward a chunking frog. As they sneaked closer, great arcs of silvery light spread far into the pond. They crawled nearer and nearer, barely disturbing the water, until the frog boomed so loud that it hardly seemed possible it was just a frog. All three faces were within 2 feet of him when, plop, he was gone. One shiny bubble floated where the frog's head had been. The bubble drifted slowly toward Elva's face and burst. "I want to catch a frog," said Alan, but Elva wanted to leave. "Do you want to come home alone?" Fran asked. "Sure," said Alan. Alan sneaked one frog after another, but they all jumped long before he could grab any. He waded ashore. After he pulled on his clothes, he saw a pinpoint of light in an upstairs window. Fran must be putting Elva to bed. He started walking home. The path of the silvery moon on the pond pointed straight toward him. He walked a little way, and it still pointed toward him. He walked back and forth along the shore, and wherever he went, the moon path pointed at one person, Alan. Later, when Fran kissed him good night, Alan whispered, "I found something out when I was alone. The path of the moon doesn't always stay in the same place. Wherever I went, it followed me." And that's the end of the August chapter of Walk When the Moon is Full by Frances Hammerstrom. This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. Thank you for listening.